Hi, today is January 19th, 2021. I'm Goldie. Welcome to episode 3 of Diamond Hands. This is a personal finance podcast with a focus of achieving financial independence through simple, consistent investing. Last week, I explained what stocks and ETFs actually are. This time, I'm going to go a bit further into explaining when an investor might choose to buy into one or the other. Finally, today I'm going to cover dividends and how they can help you grow your investments even further. As always though, before diving into this, I just want to remind you that I am not a financial advisor and nothing that I say should be considered personal financial advice. So like I mentioned last week, when you're buying stocks, you're getting shares of an individual company. This can be good or bad. It gives you a lot more control over what you're invested in. You're not buying into a really big pie that has lots of ingredients in it. You're getting exactly what you want. At the same time, this can give you a lot more room for error. The increased upside in room for growth if the stock skyrockets is going to be sort of balanced out by the fact that in order to choose the stock that's going to skyrocket and go to the moon like Tesla has or like Amazon or any of those big name stocks have, you need to do that research and you need to come to the conclusion correctly that the stock is going to grow so much. If you mess this up, there's a real good chance that the money that you put into it is not going to appreciate nearly as much as you hope, and there's a chance that it may actually lose value. For every Tesla, for every Amazon, for every Microsoft, there are so many more stocks that have a lot of hype behind them at the beginning and then fade away into nothingness or potentially even go bankrupt at some point and dissolve. An upside to owning stocks is there's no management fee associated with it. With mutual funds and with ETFs, you're often going to be paying a certain management fee every year. Mutual funds tend to be a little bit higher than ETFs. The ETFs that I own, I'm paying, I think, 0.07% annually, at least for VFV, I believe that's what it is. And by avoiding these management fees with stocks, you're able to prevent yourself from losing any of the gains that you have, or you're preventing yourself from pouring away some of those gains that you might make down the drain. In my mind, the person that buying individual stocks is going to work out really well for is the sort of person who either is very heavily involved in a certain sector and they know that sector inside and out, or you're the sort of person who notices a trend before the greater market does. And if you're one of those people, stocks can give you really great returns. Say, for instance, you work in medicine and you go to a lot of conferences, medical conferences, to stay current. At one of these conferences, you hear from a reputable source about a new groundbreaking medical treatment. Now, this is public knowledge, but outside of medical circles, it may not be common knowledge. If you think that this new treatment or this new miracle drug or whatever it is really could be game-changing, and you look up the company and you see that it is a publicly traded company, this could be an individual pick, an individual stock pick for you that could work out really well. I'm not saying start going to conferences and doing it just to find good investment points, but this is just an example of a situation in which an individual stock pick for somebody who really does know that sector could work out really well. On the other hand, reading someone's DD on Wall Street Bets on Reddit and deciding to buy into Palantir shares or buy Palantir calls because it's going to totally go to the moon, that's not really responsible investing. And to me, that's not doing your own due diligence for yourself. When you buy individual shares of a company, you are exposing yourself to a lot of risk because all of a sudden, the money that you've put into that company, that money is totally hinged on the success of the company that you're buying into. One point that I would like to mention is you need to be careful using insider knowledge or using a very detailed amount of knowledge that the regular person doesn't have. Make sure that the information that you base your trades off of and you base your investments off of, make sure that that is common knowledge, or not common knowledge, but make sure that it's publicly available knowledge. If I work at Amazon and I know there is a big scandal that's about to come public in 2 days, and I choose today, 2 days before it's public knowledge, to sell all of my shares, that's called insider trading, and that is not legal. You're going to end up getting potentially sent to jail over that, facing a lot of fines, and it's a great way to sort of ruin your life. So I think that if you're going to pick an individual stock, do it based off of detailed knowledge, but not insider knowledge. Also, keep in mind that the market doesn't always act rationally. Just because it makes sense that this is a great company and you think that it's going to be a great pick and the stock's going to do well because they've got a great product that just isn't widely recognized yet, that doesn't mean that it actually will. I kind of think of the stock market like almost a big psychological experiment for how does a collective consciousness work? Because that's kind of what the stock market is. At the end of the day, the success of a company is different from the success of its shares, because the share price is determined by how many people want to buy versus how many people want to sell a certain company. And that urge to buy or sell is not necessarily driven by the accurate performance of a company. It's driven by the perceived performance and the perceived value of the company. And that's why we kind of get bubbles, because there's so much hype and there's a huge amount of perceived value to the stocks because the price is going up, so it must be worth something. So you buy in and that causes the price to go further up. That's an example of a company being overvalued and the stock market not acting rationally. At the same time, just because it's gone up a whole bunch, there's no guarantee that it's going to crash down. It might just peter out and slowly fall. It might keep going way higher. And a great example of this is the stock for Tesla. For the past 10 months, I think, almost the past year, I've personally held the belief that Tesla is overvalued as a stock. Good company. It's a fine company, but the valuation of the stock just doesn't make sense to me. If you were to ask me a year ago, do I think Tesla is going to go up by 8 times? I'd say, no, I think it's going to go down because I think it's already overvalued. Meanwhile, over the course of the past year, it's up 800%. So it shows that just because something doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it won't actually happen in the market. Now, providing a bit of a counterbalance to picking individual stocks, ETFs, like we know, are far more diversified. ETFs don't have to just be a market index. You can have a marijuana ETF, you can have airline ETFs. Just about any sector publicly traded in the market can also have an ETF for it. I think the marijuana ones like HMMJ, the airline one is JETS for jets. Regardless, with ETFs, it's going to be a little bit less volatile. You have less room for growth, but you also have less room for a collapse. If one individual company tanks and that ETF contains that one company, you're not going to lose your whole investment. Whereas if you own shares of an individual company that tank, you will lose all of your investment in that situation. The value of the overall ETF will get held up by the rest of the group, and that other company could be replaced by a more successful one. New companies can take the place of old companies in ETFs. ETFs aren't totally stagnant. The biggest companies in the S&P 500 by market cap 20 years ago are not what they are today. I personally, as an investor, this is not my main source of income. It's not my main job. I can't predict what the big companies will be 10, 20, 30 years from now. Those companies might not even be listed yet. If you look at Tesla, that's like the fifth largest company in the S&P 500 today. It wasn't even listed on the exchange 15 years ago. I think it was in 2010 that it became public. If you buy into an ETF that tracks a specific index, for instance, the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, this ETF will automatically rebalance itself for you as companies grow or as companies lose value and are added and subtracted from that index. The companies held in an S&P 500 ETF 20 years ago would have held, like that ETF would have held a lot different companies than what that same ETF ticker sign holds today. In 1980, the top S&P 500 companies by market weight were IBM, AT&T, ExxonMobil, Standard Oil of Indiana, and Schlumberger. First off, I have no idea what Schlumberger is. I looked it up. It is still in the S&P 500, but it is not nearly as close to the top as it was before. Today, that spot held by the top five companies, nowadays it's Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, and Tesla. 40 years ago in the 1980s, I don't think anybody would have predicted that there would be an electric car company or a single global commerce platform like Amazon or even Apple and Microsoft occupying that top five rank listing. My point with this that I'm trying to get across is that even if companies are very strong today, the world is going to change and continue to evolve in ways that are very difficult or potentially impossible to predict. And I personally don't think that I can look 20 years into the future and be able to come up with an accurate representation of what the dominant companies are going to be in these indexes. If you hold an ETF based on the conviction that the index itself will continue to survive and continue to grow, it allows you to rebalance your portfolio without paying these massive amounts of tax when you decide to sell out of a position. If I had just held those five companies, IBM, AT&T, blah, 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 and then, say, in the mid-90s, sold them at a profit to rebalance and put in new, larger companies, I would have had to pay a huge amount of capital gains tax. Whereas by just holding an ETF, it allows you to have this rebalancing, one, happen automatically, you don't even have to think about it, and two, you don't need to pay the tax when you do that rebalancing. So it's a huge leg up, in my opinion, on holding individual companies over a long enough time horizon. One point to note about ETFs, though, is I often refer to a 10% year-on-year average. You only get this average return by buying and holding the entire time. If you're buying and selling at the same time, getting excited, trying to out-earn the market, trying to sell at the top and buy again when it's crashed down to the bottom to take advantage of these big price swings that do occur every once in a while, you're going to need to out-earn the market. You're going to need to do significantly better than the market as a whole, because in that same, just like I mentioned before with the taxes on an individual company, when you sell those shares, you'll still need to pay commissions and taxes when you're buying and selling, even ETFs. You could outperform the market and still earn less money in the end of your pocket at the end of the day because you get beaten down by taxes. This doesn't account for a Roth IRA or a TFSA or an RRSP or any other sort of tax-deferred or tax-proof investment account. But if you're investing beyond that, then you're gonna get beaten by taxes. The other thing is, even if you've got a TFSA or an RRSP, it's going to be very difficult for you to call the top or call the bottom accurately and consistently. In my opinion, you're going to earn a more consistent 10% return by just holding and not selling at the top or the bottom, just selling when you actually decide that you want to use that money. So based off of all of this information that I've just splurted out about ETFs, I would say that the ETF choice is for more of a still growth-oriented investor, still growth-oriented person who wants that exposure to the market, but somebody who wants to limit their exposure and have a little bit of a fallback available so that they don't run the risk of picking the wrong company or run the risk of selling at the wrong time or buying at the wrong time. If you're buying into ETFs, they have a much longer time horizon for success, in my opinion. And for me personally, when I'm planning to make these investments and keep them the same investments for the next 10, 20, 30, maybe 40 years, I can say with absolute certainty that I, Goldie, cannot predict what the top companies are going to be in 10 years, never mind 30. And I'd be lying to myself if I said that I could. And because my time horizon is so long, for me personally, I choose to invest in ETFs. At the end of the day, though, it's going to be something that you as an individual need to come to that decision yourself. And it's nobody's position to tell you where you should put your money. You earned that yourself. You should decide what to do with it yourself. So when a company earns a profit, they've got really two main options that they can take. They can either reinvest that profit to try to grow the business, expand, get into new ventures, and just try to generate further profits in the future with it. Or they can just keep on doing what they're doing and pay out a portion of those earnings to their shareholders and to their employees as a bonus, but mainly they can pay it to their shareholders as a dividend. And dividends are sweet. Not all companies pay a dividend. Like I mentioned, some companies, for instance, Amazon's a great example. Amazon puts all of their excess earnings into reinvestments to try to grow the company further. More mature companies like RBC, for instance, will pay out dividends every quarter as it's almost like a thank you to their shareholders, but they'll do this instead of reinvesting the money. Why would a company choose to give out what appears to be free money to their stockholders? First off, as part owner of the company, you can be entitled to some of their earnings, right? There's a reason people buy into the stocks, and it's not always just for the capital gains. This can act as an incentive for stockholders to continue holding the company through hard times. Also, keep in mind that the corporate executives are almost always very large shareholders of the company. And as shareholders, the dividend also goes to them as well. So that may be playing a role in the decision for a company to pay out a dividend, because the person who decides to pay it out would also receive a whole boatload of money in cash. As an investor, I personally really like dividends because of what we call in Canada DRIP. While I'm young, I want all of my dividends to be reinvested through DRIP. This happens automatically. So for instance, with VFV, right now it's paying out a 25% dividend quarterly. If you own 1,000 shares of VFV, every quarter you're receiving $250. Through DRIP, that $250 can be reinvested and buy you 3 more shares of VFV every quarter, assuming the price stays around $80, which next quarter, those 3 new shares will also pay you. So every quarter, you're getting 75 cents more, which again, over the short term, doesn't feel like that huge of a difference. But after holding VFV for 20, 30 years, you could end up receiving a boatload of extra money as a result. So the DRIP is going to automatically reinvest that $250 per quarter into more shares of VFV, which will then also be paying you more dividends next quarter. And this effectively just ends up being another way to continue compounding your growth. As you get a little bit older and start to approach retirement, your focus may transfer from trying to generate that big amount of wealth, trying to build the biggest investment portfolio as possible, and transfer from that to looking to live off of your dividends. Rather than reinvesting those dividends into more and more shares, you could start to not reinvest them and then just use that as a quarterly payout, using that quarterly dividend paid to you through your investments to supplement your retirement income, or even if you have enough invested, you could live entirely off of that. I personally, being a young guy, I have the majority of my investments in ETFs, about 85%. I am reinvesting the dividends because I want to get more and more shares paying me those dividends as I go. And the reason that I've picked primarily ETFs is because I think that the stress of picking and actively trading individual stocks just isn't worth it for me. If you're picking individual stocks, there is a lot to it. If you can do it well, power to you, mad respect, all that. But for me, to have to pick the right stock in the first place, choose my exit strategy, like, am I going to sell at 20% growth? Am I going to sell at 50% growth? Am I looking for 10 times growth? Choosing to exit at the right time, like had I bought into Tesla at 200 and sold it at 250 because I decide, well, 25% growth is awesome, and then it goes up to being worth $8,000, I would be kicking myself. And I don't think that amount of stress for me personally is worthwhile. It totally works for some people. I just have decided for me personally as an investor, it's not right for me. Could be right for you, but don't go into it thinking that it's a get rich quick scheme. You're just going to put all your money into one stock, quadruple it, pull it out, put it into another one, triple it, and then you're good to go. If you go in with that attitude, it's just asking to get burned. So make sure that you do your research, because statistically, most people don't beat the market. I think I read somewhere that if the market's return is 10% annually, people who pick their individual stocks and that's their primary form of investment get a return of like 2% annually or something really low. And for me, I'd rather just take the safe return, 10%, easy cheesy, good. Keep in mind though, ETFs are still totally subject to the market whims. if I'm saving for something that's in the near term, upcoming wedding, home down payment, I want to go back to school, anything like that, I'll do it with a high interest savings account and just accept that I'm going to lose out to inflation a little bit, but it's a more secure funding. I don't have to worry about what if COVID-2 comes and hits and my whole portfolio is decimated over the short term, and I also need to use that money for something that I've committed to. I'd rather just save, know that I'll have the money available, and invest for longer term goals. Long-term wealth building through investment for like 5-year, 10-year horizon, to me, that's a more responsible approach than trying to triple my money in the short term. And then when does it end? Okay, you've just quadrupled your money. That's amazing. Are you going to stop there? I personally probably wouldn't. I would go in again and then I would get burned. Keep in mind though, your personal risk tolerance is probably going to be different from mine. I can't tell you what to do as an individual. Investing is, it cannot be a one-size-fits-all solution. I'm working towards a government pension. You might not be doing that. Even if the market is sewered and never recovers, I'll probably still have that pension. I really hope so. If my country collapses, then I'll still have my investments in the US. It's kind of like hedging the investments, but everything is still all super North America centric. I don't have anything outside of North America, so I'm totally not untouchable by it by any means. But as I get older and older and my portfolio does grow, I may look into getting into more international stocks. But for now, I'm personally happy keeping it America centric. Yeah, what's the whole takeaway here? A lot of people talk themselves up like they're some trading god. People sell courses about how to beat the market and how to get rich quick. That's just them selling a dream. It's really easy to look good in a bull market. When the market's going up, everyone's winning, and it's easy to pick the markets, or it's easy to pick the winners because the whole market is going up. When the market is going down and it's a bear market, that's when people are tested. Do you sell at a loss? Do you buy in more? Did that company that you picked 6 months ago tank because they couldn't survive the recession? There's absolutely nothing wrong with picking individual stocks as long as you're faithful in the company that you've done the research on and that you believe in the company itself. If you do it based on a whim or based on a recommendation and you don't really believe in the company, the chances that you're going to sell when things start to look bad to try to just escape it and put your money somewhere else are way higher than if you really have conviction that that company is a great company and that company, if you invested for a real reason, there's a far likelier chance that you're going to continue holding your money in there. I've personally held some stocks that I bought, held for a couple years and made great returns with. Again, it was in a bull market, so everyone was getting great returns. I've also gotten super lucky. There was a stock where it was a marijuana stock. I jumped on the bandwagon. I made like 30% and then I got off early. The stock was at $9.50, I think. I looked at it the other day just out of curiosity, and I think one share was 20 cents. So when I saw that, it felt like I stole from the devil. And it's not something that's sustainable or repeatable. So jumping on the bandwagon, I definitely don't recommend doing that. If you're going to pick a stock, do it for the right reasons. Do it because you believe in the company and you've done your research. The last thing about picking stocks and picking investments in general, whether that be ETF, real estate, stocks, whatever, the market is absolutely merciless. And it's going to remind you of that. It's going to remind you that it doesn't know who you are and that you are not special, right? In your life, don't get me wrong, you should always be your number one focus, your personal health, your mental health, all that. But the market, as messed up as it is, it just doesn't care. Nobody is special to the market. People often think they get this perception that the stock knows who they are and they'll do well with a stock. They'll make a lot of money on it. And they'll grow emotionally attached to that stock. And that is a very dangerous spot to fall into because it prevents you from making actual logical decisions. Yeah, the market's it's messed up, it's merciless, it'll tear you apart, and just because you bought into something and everything's riding on this one investment doesn't mean that that investment cares or will do well. I personally do hold shares of some individual companies. That being said, the vast majority of my investing is through ETFs because I think that in the long term, with my personal goals, riding along with the market is the simpler, more tax efficient method for me to achieve my financial goals. If the market continues chugging along like it has been, and I keep dollar cost averaging my money into it, and it just keeps going up at an average over a long period of time of 10% per year, I will be more than happy with that result. Okay, that was a long one. Hopefully I can edit it down so it's not as long to listen to, but that was a long one to record. Next week, I'm going to be focusing a bit on taxes. Tax season is coming up pretty quickly. There's going to be some Canada-specific info going out for that, but I'll also be sure to mention some more universal tidbits that should be able to be applied in almost any nation where you're listening to this to hopefully minimize your tax burden while still, of course, keeping it all legal and all above the board. If there's a subject that you want me to cover in an upcoming show, send me an email at brainlit.fi@gmail.com. I'll have that email address in the show notes here. And yeah, have a great evening, stay safe, and hopefully everything goes well tomorrow.